1. Oh, how it's great to be in the house of the Lord. Folks, allow me, before we begin, just to share an experience I've had from since a little child. And I think you may have had that experience as well. Going, you know, studying the Word of God in the week as a little kid, and then going to school and being confronted with what you have studied, or meeting someone and you have to share that word with someone, or coming on Sabbath and then you're realizing that everything that you have studied is being lined up. I can't help but remember that experience because of everything that was discussed and shared here today. It's very interesting, the testimonies of the children, the songs that we have sung, the children's story, the dream, has to do with even some of the things that I'm going to be sharing with you today. Who is responsible for that? Me? No. You? No. But who? God, the Holy Spirit. And this assures me that He has a message not just for you, but also for me. Let us start today with a word of prayer. Dear most heavenly righteous Father, please, Lord, humble us. Help us to always remember that we are created beings that was made by you, dear Lord, the I Am, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. Jesus, our Lord and our Savior, our God, we praise you, dear Heavenly Father. We thank you for leaving us with the Comforter. We thank you for leaving us with the Comforter. And the angels that you have assigned to us. And we thank you for the guidance and the discernment that you have been giving us. Lord, please help us to never drown your voice out. To always listen to the promptings of the Holy Spirit in all that we do. And as we are about to study together, break bread together, be fed together, dear Lord, we pray that we are nourished together and ready for whatever is to come. From Sabbath to Sabbath, this is our prayer. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Turn with me to hymn 218. I just want us to look at a few words there. Hymn 218. When he cometh. You know, William's dream and what we are going to be talking about. When he cometh. The first stanza says, when he cometh to make up his what? His jewels, all his jewels, precious jewels, his loved and his own. Like the stars of the morning, his bright crown doing what? Adorning. They shall shine in their what? Beauty, bright gems for his crown. He will gather the gems for his what? His kingdom. All the pure ones, all the bright ones, his loved and his what? His own. The third one. Little what? Children, little children, who loves their what? Redeemer. Are the jewels, the precious jewels, his loved and his own. Like the stars of the morning, his bright crown adorning, they shall shine in their beauty, bright gems for his what? Crown. What a context. What a context. Just the children's story, and then look at this context. And I'm going to, by God's grace, share with you a little bit more about God's jewels. It's a little bit more. So the scripture reading for today says, in Matthew 13:52, then said he unto them, therefore every scribe which is instructed unto the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder. A man that is like what? A householder, which bringeth forth out of his treasure things that are both what? New and what? Old. Our God has a line of sight. He loves things that are old, and he also believes in things that are what? New. He has line of sight. Did you know that Christ taught the leaders of the church in his time and the people or witnesses while educating the disciples for future ministry and leadership roles? You know, the elder asked, you know, do you have a testimony to give? Do you have a word that is at the tip of your tongue ready to share with others of how great Jesus has been in your life? We are called to be witnesses. We are called to be witnesses. Children, young children, God was telling me, make sure and acknowledge the praise you have given him through your testimony. I have grown up in this church, and there are some kids who will come through this church and be very quiet. And adults who are in prompting on these children to be able to speak and to express their walk with God, I praise the work that you are doing as well. It is important that we do so. Because when they don't do it here, there's somebody or something that is on the outside doing what? Ready to pull. I was once younger. I was once younger and there were many distractions. And I praise God. You know, there's a part of the Bible that says, in my youth, I will do what? Serve the Lord. In my youth, I will serve the Lord. Young people, please hear this. There's nothing better that you can do. There's nothing better. He did so, Jesus, through his actions, several miracles, quoting the Old Testament, providing well-communicated instructions, and lessons at times presented as thought-provoking parables. Do you agree? This was the method of our Lord. Brothers and sisters, Christ's methods must be studied. Do you agree? We must study them. Because not only did he reach the people of Bible times, he knew his approaches would reach who? Us. Future generations in profound ways as well. What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. I pray when you study the word of God, our bread of life, and in the entire life of Christ in heaven and on earth, you ask, how does what he taught back then have a real impact on us today? How what he taught back then has a real impact on us when? Today. Folks, I am trying to set this message up, so bear patience with me. Put yourselves into the stories of the Holy Bible. Spend quality time. We are reminded that by beholding, we become what? Change. So what your mind is fixed upon will have an influence on who you become. Or who you are growing into. Ask questions like, how was Christ's approach different from what I have done unaware of his methods? How is his approach different from what I am doing? Also, be specific, such as, how would I have responded when Christ in Gethsemane opened up to Peter and others and said his soul was exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death? Tarry and or stay ye here and watch with me. This is from Matthew 26, 38 through 41. Stay awake, Christ is asking them. Do not what? Sleep, as I am awake with you. Then he returned and found his disciples doing what? Fast asleep. Not even over an hour had passed, according to the Bible. You see, from this recorded story, Christ was calling all disciples, then and now, to watch and pray, lest we all fall into what? Temptations. Lest we all fall into temptation. Folks, the purpose of showing you this example is that you and I, we need to put ourselves in that story. We need to put ourselves in the stories of the Bible. You do not physically, tangibly have to experience it. But quite frankly, when you read God's word, it becomes tangible to you. Do you agree? It becomes tangible to you. And then when you are confronted with the experience in your own way, you have a frame of reference. What did Christ say? He said that it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Who was he speaking to? Lucifer, when he was trying to do what? Tempt him in the wilderness. Christ quoted the Bible. He put himself into the stories. We need to be doing the same. Another of many examples showing Christ's invitation for us to put ourselves into the words of his teachings is when the disciples try to rebuke the people for bringing children to Christ. Trying to bring children to Christ, and they're rebuking Christ. Luke 18:15-17. I'll give you some time to get there. Luke 18:15-17. And they brought unto him also infants, that he would touch them. But when his disciples saw it, they rebuked who? Them. Are you serious? Are you serious? But Jesus called them unto him and said, suffer little children to come unto me, and forbid them what? Not. For of such is the kingdom of who? Of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little what? Child, shall in no wise enter therein. What wisdom in his teachings. Bring the children to him. But in the same time, know you, adult, that you must first become like what? Little children, if you too want to enter therein. Do not take for granted the messages of Christ was giving his disciples, because it is the same message he delivers to us today. Receive the kingdom of God as a little child will do. Children are believing and trusting. Children are believing and trusting. All attributes needed towards Christ for those who desire to enter into the kingdom. He is calling us to be believing and trusting. Do you remember in the New Testament, there was a soldier, centurion, that came to God. And his belief in God's authority, in Jesus' authority, was so profound that Jesus himself said, man, if I had more like you. If I had more like you. You don't need to know more, but you already know and believe. Church family, what we have throughout the entire word of God is old and new treasures. Do you agree? We have old and we have new treasures. I love the fact that in the scripture to us is the living word. It's new and it's old. I want to call it vast. V-A-S-T. Vast. I am using this word or this vast as an acronym, which stands for the scriptures being valuable. Please catch this. It's valuable. It's accessible, it's sanctified, and truths for the salvation of men. The scriptures is vast. It's valuable, accessible, sanctified, truths for the salvation of men. Let me provide a little more context. Turn with me to Psalms 139, verse 17. Psalms 139, verse 17. And if you're there already, Jeremiah 33:3 and Isaiah 55. You could put some dividers there, and I'm going to read it again. Psalms 139:17. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they are more in number than the what? The sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. God's blessings, his words, his treasures are vast. Jeremiah 33:3. Call unto me, and I will do what? Answer thee, and show thee what? Great and mighty things, which thou knowest not. Isaiah 55:9-11. For as the heavens are higher than this earth, so are my ways higher than yours, or your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Praise God. You know, in Sabbath school, humility keep coming up. Humility keeps coming up. This text reminds us to be humble. We are created beings, and we are the child or children of him whose thoughts are way higher than ours. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it to bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me what? Void. But it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. Remember that the word of God has old and new what? Treasures that are vast, valuable, accessible, sanctified truths for the salvation of men, for you and I. Now, Matthew 13:52. Then said he unto them, therefore every scribe which is instructed unto the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is a householder, which bringeth forth out of his treasure things that are what? New and old. Brothers and sisters, are you beginning to see it? Are you beginning to see it? We are stewards of things that are precious. Things that are old and things that are new. And we are God's jewels. We are God's jewels. Let us come into likeness of mind as we study the lesson entitled Unveiling the Linkage Between Old and New Treasures. Unveiling the Linkage Between Old and New Treasures. Let us pray again. Dear most heavenly righteous Father, I pray that this message is clear. And I pray, thanking you for giving me this word to share with not only my brothers and my sisters, but as a reminder to myself, dear Lord. Lord, please keep us. Please help our minds to be focused on you. And hide me in the background, and you, dear Lord, stand in the foreground. For Christ's sake, amen. So this message is based on Christ's object lessons, the chapter on things that are new and old. If you haven't read it, I suggest that you get time, take time, make time to go and read this particular chapter. Okay? Christ's object lessons, things new and old. The first section is, who are the householders? Who are the householders? From our central text in Matthew 13:52, we see Christ compares the scribe to the master of a house. The scribe to the master of a house. The householder. One with much responsibility, not only for what they own, but specifically themselves and those that come into their space and those they have responsibility over. Right? the householders, they have responsibility not only for themselves, but the space, and also those that come in and they have responsibility over. Here we are told by Sister White that all who receive the gospel message, please catch this, brothers and sisters. All those who receive the gospel message into their hearts will long to proclaim it. All those who receive the gospel message, this good news, this real hope, because you know there's a false hope, right? The Bible in Revelation says when they say peace and safety, but you know the real truth. You know the real hope. You know the end of the story. And quite frankly, you know as much as you need to know. And then you have an eternity to spend time with him, to learn all of the mysteries, all of the unanswered questions, because now you will have even more access to him. Isn't that beautiful when you think about it? So let's go back here. All who receive the gospel message, that is you and I, into our hearts will long to proclaim it. We will have a desire to share it with someone else. Let's do this before I continue. Say, for example, you heard of this great sale. You know, T-shirts that were sold for $100 for each one. They're selling them for 50 cents. And there's no blemish, no wrinkle. They iron them for you and all. You will go and you find out and you buy a few of them yourself. Quite frankly, you might actually try to buy the whole store. Let truth be told. Right? But you know what you will end up doing? You will call your sister or your brother or your cousin or some, even the stranger. Did you hear? There's this great sale. These are $100 t-shirts. They're not knockoffs. And they're selling them for 50 cents. Cheap. You're not going to keep that good news to yourself. Why are we keeping the good news of Jesus Christ to ourselves? I'm sorry, I have to be transparent. Why are we so afraid? The next man or woman who is believing some skimmy-dimmy thing, they're the first to come and to tell you about it. And they're telling your children too. They have advertisements about it. They got billboards about it. They got everything else going on. But the children of God is cowered in a corner. We have come a long way. Y'all remember the Waldenses? We have come a long way. The Waldenses used to stitch the scripture in their in their pocket, hide it in caves. And I'm saying this to you because I want you to realize that I am guilty just as much as you are. Where the Holy Spirit has presented opportunities to present all the new treasures to someone else through his gospel message, and we are very what? Silent. Even amongst ourselves, do you know there is strength? Every time you give a testimony, you are actually helping your brother or sister to go forward in this walk with God. So young people, when you gave a testimony earlier on today, I hope you understand the value of what you have given, not just for yourselves and your family, but also everybody who sat and received it. For God. So let's go forward. A heaven-born love for Christ must find a way to be expressed. A heaven-born love for Christ must find a way to be expressed. Do you find ways today to express your heaven-born love of Christ? This is a question. It's not a rhetoric question. This is a real question. She goes further to state that it is unnatural. It is unnatural for anyone to keep old and new treasures a secret. To keep all and new treasures a secret when you are filled with the love of Christ. A solemn thought, we should all reflect upon. But the answer to the question, who are the householders, are this. The householders are those who have put on Christ and relate their experiences as they trace step by step the leadings of the Holy Spirit. They have a continued hunger and a thirst for the knowledge of God and Jesus Christ, whom he has sent. The results of the householder's search of the scripture is within their prayers, their soul's agony, and the words Christ says to them, thy sins be forgiven thee. It's a long, long definition. I'm going to read it again, because I think we need to hear it again. Who are these householders? The householders are those who have put on Christ and relate their experiences as they trace step by step the leadings of the Holy Spirit. They have a continued hunger and a thirst for knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ, whom he has sent. The results of the householder's search of the scripture is within their prayers, their soul's agony, and the words Christ says to them, thy sins be forgiven thee. Folks, we are the householders. We are called to be householders. Do you see, the householders will know the value and the sacredness of what God has made available to them. And they will proportionally desire that others receive that same blessing. Does that make sense? We have a desire to grow in him, to have a real, genuine relationship with him. And as we have this desire, we will long to want others to have it too. Not just our children, not just our loved ones, not just the family members who are shunning his very, everyone you come in contact with. I'll say it this way. We are to have a love for souls like Jesus did. We are to have a love for souls like Jesus did. The householders are masters of the home that will have the hearts of little children in its simplicity and unrestricted obedience to the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords. So that first section that we discussed was, who are the householders? The second section of this message is Christ, the treasure, the treasures or riches of the Old and the New Testament. Christ is the treasures or the riches of the Old and New Testament. He is it. He is it. There's a great storehouse of truth. It is the Word of God. The written word, the book of nature, the book of experience in God's dealing with human life. So you want to be wise, young people? You want to grow in wisdom? Go to the book. Go to the God's book and not the other made-up stuff that they have coming today. There's so many crazy versions of Bibles out there. There's so many crazy YouTube videos that is accessible with the click of a button. It reminds me of why God tells us that we need to know that we are stewards. We are stewards of our time. We are stewards of the things that we spend time looking at. We are stewards of the things that we are to consume. And we are even stewards of the things that we are simply going to do what? Touch. That's just a few things that you are a steward over. You have many other things that you are stewards over. The talents that God has given you. Actually, let me do this. Let me do this. From the age of 5 years old, please understand, I am not telling you this to boast. What I'm about to say to you. This is not about boasting, and this is about me understanding where all of my blessings come from. At the age of 5 years old, I remember watching Sesame Street. And I was watching Sesame Street my mother came in, and I wanted to give my mother a gift. I was a little boy, there, and you want to surprise your mom. And I remember this like this was just yesterday. And my mother used to sketch a lot. So I said, hey, I want to do a drawing for my mom. And I drew the spoon. And the way that I drew the spoon, I wanted it to be exactly what it is, because I saw that this is a thing that brings joy to my mother. So I drew the spoon in three dimensions, and it had an angle. And I felt a satisfaction inside drawing this spoon. It was different. It was a very different feeling. And ever since that day, sharing this with my mother, seeing her excitement, I realized that anything I see, I can draw. I'm kidding you now. I'm being very transparent with you with this. And I thank God for the praying mother that I have, because she supported it, but she also keep reminding me about being humble with it. And this was the beginning of my, from a very early age, the beginning of me understanding what humility is. Being blessed with gifts that God has given me, every single year I would learn a new art technique. I could go to a museum and I could see what they did, and if I have the equipment in front of me, I could go do it. But there are times where God could bless you with gifts, and you could be disobedient with them. And I'm saying this because a lot of times when we are disobedient, because pride comes before a what? A fall. You know, I started, when I came here to the U.S., needing what? Money. There was a period of time where I was taking jobs now, showing in galleries and doing covers, book covers and whatever. And I got distracted for a moment, not for a long time, but for a moment. And all it takes is what? One moment. I had this gentleman, a Seventh-day Adventist brother who went to school with him. He was like, I could get you this job. And they're willing, I talked to them already, they're willing to give you 70% of every sale that you make for these t-shirts. It's like, oh, that's wonderful. And I'm telling you right now, I needed money. This is not a, right? So I'm like, all right. I go and I show the guys my portfolio. And now I'm drawing all the things that I long to see, because I'm from the Caribbean. I'm drawing flowers and seascapes and birds. And I'm just drawing the things that I miss seeing. Do you understand what I'm saying? So the art was very close to my worship. It's my way of looking at the beautiful things that God has made. But you could dirty your hands, the gifts that God has given you. So I go to this gentleman and he said, hey, this is what I want you to draw. Now, brothers and sisters, if I was to tell you what this man asked me to draw, you would look at me like I was crazy. Of all things, it was sensual, and I'm giving you the tailored version, right? On these t-shirts, because it was going to be the Eastern Parkway Labor Day thing. And he wanted explicit drawings done. And I'm like, and I'm showing you how sin creeps in. Yeah, but Michelangelo and Leonardo, they drew the garden scene, and they blocked certain things, and right? And I found myself sitting down, again, making excuses. And hearing God say, this is, I will lead you. You do not need to do this. And I was being disobedient. I sat and I draw some foolish things. And still try to do it in a tasteful way. And I went back to this gentleman. And I said, hey, this is the best I can do. And this man watched me with the Adventist brother. And now I'm about 18 years old, okay? At this time, 17, 18, somewhere around there. With this brother, and the guy said, wow, you have a gift, you have a talent. You know, they always try to lift you up first. But it's not what I want. It needs to be more. I need more. Now, mind you, this is the first time I drew anything in my life that I could remember. Because my father was always big on, when you draw something, you must do what? Sign it. When you pray to God, you must do what? Sign it. When you say amen, you are saying what? I am in agreement with what we have just prayed. So when I'm drawing, and now I can't sign, my hands is becoming what? Dirty. I am literally taking the gift God has given me and dirtying my hands. I watched this guy and I said, sir, because he was still going to use what I did. I said, sir, wait, come. Give me all of these. And the Adventist older brother is saying, what are you doing? I said, sir, give me every single piece of paper that I just gave you. And I took it, and I ripped it up. The Adventist guy, he said, are you crazy? This is a great deal. You are in great need. This is the only way you can help your parents. Do you see how far this is going? I walk out of that store. I tell him, I say, brother, thanks for considering me. I rip it up. I am crying by close to Eastern Parkway in Utica. And I'm ripping this paper up. And I am asking God for what? Forgiveness of my sins. And I throw some in one bin. And he instructed me to do that. Throw some in another bin. Because you know they had bins around. And throw some in another bin that by God's grace they will never come back together again. And I went into the class because this was my very first year being in college. And I sat in the back of the class crying, not knowing where I will get the tuition for school. Brothers and sisters, I'm being honest with you as they, and God is telling me to tell you this story because there's young people here that's hearing this. I cried. And I watched God pay my tuition, not only from undergrad, but for my master's degree and my PhD. I came out of school with $0 in debt from that day. You could ask my wife. I met my wife and I said, wife, we're leaving New York City and we're going to another state and they're going to pay for me to teach me and I'm going to be able to care for and tend for the family. She said, you crazy. She watched me, right? And they paid almost every fellowship I applied to. And I took my time to apply to and prayerfully did so. The doors were open. Trust God. Trust Him. The things that we are learning about faithfulness in His Word, these old truths, could be new truths for you as you live. Do you understand what I'm getting at here? There is a great storehouse of truth. It is the Word of God. It is the written Word, the book of nature, the book of experience in God's dealing with the human life. Here is the location of God's treasure we, the householders, should be drawing from. Our interactions with others, the way in which we represent the brand of Christ, has an influence on others. It has an influence on others. You do not need to be an elder or some deaconess or deacon to have an influence for someone else in terms of the way that you represent Christ. Every single place you go, every conversation you have, the way you deal with adversity, the way you deal with injustice, the way you deal with being humble, all of these things matter. The sister mentioned earlier on, sister, I must say, I believe that your response, the Holy Spirit was guiding you in that response. Because what you showed is a care for the soul and not just yourself. And it's not, when we think like that or we move like that, it cannot be by self. It has to be by Him. Does that make sense? God has appointed ways He imparts knowledge of Himself, the treasure we seek. But it's in the written Word that the knowledge of God is most clearly revealed to fallen men. This is the treasure house of the unsearchable riches of God, of Christ. Christ, as manifested to the patriarchs, as symbolized in the sacrificial service, as portrayed in the law, and as revealed by the prophets, is the riches of the Old Testament. Yeah, I hope that from this message you are understanding or getting that what you actually have, what you know, is valuable. What you know is treasures. Who you know is valuable. You actually know royalty. Some of us go crazy because you know the president of the university. Like, some of us go crazy because we know this person who is a musician or their title is doctor or whatever. Like, that means nothing. All these things are temporal. But what you do know that has meaning and value is that you know the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords. Christ, in his teaching, presented all truths of which he himself was the originator. Truths which he had spoken through patriarchs and prophets. But he now shed upon them a new light. He promised that the Holy Spirit should enlighten the disciples, that the word of God should be ever unfolding to them. They would be able to present its truths in new beauty. Brothers and sisters, I hope you caught that. As you study, and as you live, and as you grow with the Lord, your experience with him should now be, you should be able to present it in new beauty to someone else. Does that make sense? So, when William Miller gave his dream, that was his new beauty. You and I, we should be seeking this new beauty, not new truths. Not new truths, but a new beauty in terms of the way he is inspiring us to express his word. Does that make sense? Okay? The truths of redemption are capable of constant development and expansion. That's how vast God's word is. The truths of redemption are capable of constant development and expansion. This is from Sister White. Though old, they are ever new. Isn't that amazing? Consistently revealing to the seeker of for truth a greater glory and a mightier power. When last have you read an old a Bible story or a text and you're like, wow, I never looked at it this way. And then you go back to it again two, three years later, how much of a time later, and wow, I never looked at it this way. This is why we call, the old folks, they got it right, the living word. Because as I live and I grow and I take this journey on with my Lord, and I'm guided by him, what I am living, experiencing is also helping me to better understand what he wants me to see. But he also says, those who have eyes to see will see, and those who have ears to hear, they would hear. There are things that will be revealed based on where we are at spiritually. Does that make sense? There are some things that will be strongholds in our lives unless we give a full surrender to Jesus Christ. We have to give him a full surrender. Don't wait until it's too late. So this brings us to the third section. The treasure gained by the householder should never be stockpiled. The treasures gained by the householder should never be stockpiled. Is this making sense? We can't store, up. So let me do this. Let me use an analogy. I hope this makes sense. So the squirrels, in fall, you see what they do. What do? Help me out. They store and they go again. All the nuts and they're busy working. And they're storing. And then winter comes and, they have what they need. And then spring comes, right? And then what do? Are they still storing? Huh? No, right? They stop storing. But you know how tough this is? If we are always in this storing mood, right? All year round, 365 days, just storing. We're going to get what? We're going to get fat, right? We're going to get fat. That is true, and I'm going to speak to this just now. So we're storing, 365 days out of the year. And the season never changes. All we're doing is stockpiling. This is a problem. Again, when the elder came up here and he said, you know, speak. This is your time. And you have opportunities outside to speak too. We really need to be taking this serious. So check this out. You mentioned about getting fat or filled. The Bible says faith without what? It's dead. God knows what he says. This is the book of James. Faith without works is dead. So what does that mean? It means that I could be growing faithfully and still not doing what I'm called to do. We are called workers. That's what we are called. We are called to work. And the converse is true. Works without faith is equally what? Dead. Work without faith is equally dead. We could be the best good Samaritan on the street. But if that work is not pointing to who? To Christ. Then it's busy work. It's useless work. Is it making sense? Okay, cool. The treasure gained by the householder should never be stockpiled. And this brings us to our conclusion. In giving us his word, God has put us in possession of every truth essential for our salvation. Thousands have drawn water from these wells of life. Yet there is no diminishing of the supply. Thousands have set the Lord before them, and by beholding have been changed into the same image. Praise God. Their spirit burns within them as they speak of his character, telling what Christ is to them and what they are to Christ. But these searchers have not exhausted these grand and holy themes. They haven't fully exhausted it. Thousands more may engage in the work of searching out the mysteries of salvation. As the life of Christ and the character of his mission are dwelt upon, rays of light shines forth more distinctively at every attempt to discover truth. The more you seek and the more you attempt to discover truth, it's the more truth that will come. Does that make sense? Effort in, effort out. We have to put in our work too. Each fresh search will reveal something more deeply interesting than has yet been unfolded. Have you experienced this in your personal walk with God? Every time you seek of something fresh or something new from him, you get deeper understanding or you see something you have not seen before. The subject is inexhaustible, she says. The subject, the learning about God, learning his character. You know, the kids like to say, you're teaching them a new subject. I said, but this is boring. I'm bored. Well, not with God. We can't get bored with God. The study of the incarnation of Christ, his atoning sacrifice and mediatorial work will employ the mind of the diligent student as long as time shall last. And looking to heaven with its unnumbered years, he will exclaim, great is the mystery of godliness. Great is the mystery of godliness. In eternity, we shall learn that which he had received, the enlightenment it was possible to obtain here, would have opened our understanding. The themes of redemption will employ the hearts and the minds and the tongues. What is the theme of redemption going to employ? The hearts, the minds, and the what? The tongues. Of the redeemed through the everlasting ages. They will understand the truths which Christ longed to open to his disciples, but which they did not have faith to grasp. We grasp as much as where our faith is. Does that make sense? We grasp as much as where our faith is. Okay, how could he say this? He's being bold. No, I'm not. The Bible is very clear. It says, O ye of little what? Faith. Or O ye of no faith. Or O ye of faith the size of a what? A mustard seed. That you, it is so big, even though it's small, it's so big it can even move what? Mountains. Do you all understand? In the eyesight of God, faith is measurable. Faith is measurable. He quantifies our faith. He quantifies our faith. Forever and forever, new views of the perfection and glory of Christ will appear. Through endless ages will the faithful householder bring forth from his treasure things that are new and things that are what? Old. The word of God has old and new treasures, brothers and sisters, that are vast. They are valuable, they are accessible, they are sanctified, and truths for the salvation of men. I pray to God that you were blessed by this message, and that when it's all said and done, you have a desire to share more and more what you have learned, what you have experienced with your Lord, with someone else. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a what? A new creature. All things are what? Passed away. Behold, all things are become what? New. Amen. Shall we pray? Dear most heavenly righteous Father, we praise you, Lord, because there's so many treasures that you have shared with us. You even shared with us that we are considered your jewels, dear Lord. But Lord, please help us to have a heart and a mind that is like yours. Help us to truly be children of yours, be fully converted. And that when it's all said and done, our walk with you is attractive to others. Easy to share how good you have been to us, dear God. Help us, Lord, to be on the forefront with you, dear Lord. Helping you to win souls for your vineyard. This is our prayer. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.